Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In Revelation 3, Jesus tells the church of Laodicea that they are lukewarm, even though they believed that they had need of nothing. But he could see the real condition of their hearts. And though we are living in the days of this church, we do not have to join in the attitude of self-sufficiency. The Lord warns us to repent before we slide down the slippery slope of destruction. So join in the conversation to open our eyes to see the evidence that we might be living a lukewarm life. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." Wow, Janie, that is a list of sliding into destruction, isn't it?
And it makes you, Sharon, want to go crawl under a rock and do what the old song used to say, make the world go away and get it off my shoulder.
Wow, I can see every single one of these. And I'm sure 10 years ago, we probably could have seen every one of these too. But man, they are in full-blown display for all to see. And good is called evil and evil is called good. I mean, perilous times are up on us.
I agree with you, Sharon. And do you know that they began with something that would have looked very innocent, that we could even laugh at?
Really?
The destruction of the male authority, I remember as far back as a comic strip called Dagwood and Blondie.
Oh, my goodness, Janie.
And Dagwood is always the dumb daddy.
Mm-hmm.
The father that couldn't get it together and the husband that didn't understand.
Right.
We laughed at that.
Yes.
That was starting a destruction of the home authority.
Wow.
And I'm sure it goes back before Dagwood and Blondie. That's just in my lifetime when I started to remember laughing at something that was the birth pangs of evil.
Yeah.
And it got much more evident when we got into the 60s and we had Woodstock and we went with free love. And
mm-hmm.
I saw a picture the other night on what the girls looked like before Woodstock and what they looked like afterwards. In other words, how they had changed their dress.
Uh-huh.
They had changed their lifestyle. They had changed their hairdos.
Uh-huh.
And we accepted it, Sharon. We yeah. accepted it. Part of the responsibility of this evil display has to go back to Christians who were not looking as they were sliding down the slippery slopes.
The church has to take responsibility for being lukewarm.
We neglected to observe the evidence.
Oh, yes.
And when we listened to it on the news, it was someplace else. It wasn't in our backyard. So we really were a little indifferent. We could have said, oh, what a pity. What a shame that happened
mm-hmm.
to them,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that it was a foretaste of what was going to happen to us.
So neglect was the first step of the Laodicean church in how they started going down this slippery slope to destruction, possibly.
You know, Sharon, that's a really good word that you used, because I don't know, and again, I didn't live in those days, but they failed to see the warning signs of being able to do what Peter says, which he says, be sober, be vigilant, be steadfast. And you know, we have a part of the world in us that we want to still have a good time.
You know, sometimes I wonder if it has anything to do with the next generation just sitting on the shirt tail of the one generation, because, you know, they know the truth and they have it all together. So I'm just going to sit back here on the shirt tail and ride the waves.
I think that has a good possibility. And, you know, something that just really thinking about as we go back and look at all the churches, Ephesus was a great working church, protecting the scriptures, and they got so busy doing good that they forgot to love.
And
we can't see anything in the other letters to where love was really put as a priority. Loving the Father the way agape love and phileo love has told us to live and walk.
And we still do that today. We get busy with serving in the church that we forget to love.
Or constantly be in the scriptures. It's so busy serving and doing the good deeds that you take your devotion and you run with it with a thought rather than
waiting. Being still.
Yes, and waiting on the Lord in His presence by being in the Word. So if your good deeds cause you to neglect being in His Word, then you will neutralize the effect that you're having in the very thing you want to achieve.
Oh, wow.
And Sharon, when you see someone who says, yes, if I died tonight, I probably would go to hell, and they don't seem to be troubled by it, then to have any sort of neutralizing complacency, satisfaction in our soul and spirit to say, well, that's your choice, is to become an enemy of the cross.
So if we're an enemy of the cross, then our love is in the ways of the world.
Absolutely.
And we neutralize the Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of others around us.
And then if you neutralize the Spirit and His working, then Sharon, you also neutralize the power of God in your life. And that will then set you up to slip into Laodicea, because now we're great. Things are going good. We've got results. We've got this. And by the way, let's just sit down and enjoy what all has been accomplished.
Yeah.
And we open up the door to laziness, complacency, not just necessarily evil things.
It can be good.
Because our scripture today just said, you know, you're not on fire, but you're not over here being a reprobate. You're just lukewarm. You just have a spirit of complacency. Things are going good. Yeah. So let's relax and let's just have a good party.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's just enjoy our food, fun, and fellowship.
You're going to get into trouble with that slang one of these days.
Know.
But you know what? Food, fun, and fellowship is excellent if it is focused and centered and prioritized around the presence of Jesus Christ and why we are having food, fun, and fellowship.
Yeah, to encourage each other in the scriptures, not encourage each other in our
food
flesh.
Fun. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And so we're making a good illustration of taking something that is good and honorable, because in the first century, food, fun, and fellowship happened daily with the new converts and the family of God as the church was being built.
But it was all with the purpose of growth, not with the purpose of just getting to know each other.
Of being satisfied. So we're learning how easy it is to slip down that slope and never recognize it.
That's why we need this microscope, so we can see the evidence of that subtlety.
Well, and here is the sadness, Sharon. After having the church at Philadelphia and overcoming, they should have been consistently recognizing the warfare that they had to fight against the evil that the Lord had blessed them with and knowing how to overcome.
Yeah.
That means that they had to learn to live the crucified life.
Yes.
They had to understand the fullness of what Jesus Christ did at the cross, the purpose. And so really, when He talks about how far you have fallen, they went from living the call to be the church that knew how to live the crucified life to being the church that crucified their lives for pleasure.
Oh, that's a word picture that just resonated in my head just now.
All right. So we take something that almost became ugly and repulsive because things were going so good. And Sharon, I hear that today. I hear, Janie, you camp out on knowing the cross all the time. It was a historical event. Mm. It's over with. It's happened. We've moved forward to evangelize. We've moved forward to socialize and draw people in so that they can become Christians. That has truth in it. But that is not the way the New Testament has really been written or the examples of the Old Testament have shown us.
But that's just a twist, Janie. Without the cross, you can't do any of the evangelizing or drawing people in.
Well, you can have the outward appearance. You can get the numbers. But if it isn't from the outflowing of the Spirit from the heart, then the scriptures tell us, John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing.
And if we're not living the crucified life, the resurrected life, then all we're doing is feel good works.
That's true, because he opened the way for us to be crucified to the power of sin, the lust of the world, and the bondage of serving self in any way. So, Sharon, the cross of death really resulted in the right to live the crucified life now. And that is what is the scriptures tell us is pleasing to God. We are expected to live crucified. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Mm-hmm. Well, if we are physical, you can only die once physically.
Right,
so what's
right.
he saying there? He dies to the things of the allurement of the world.
Right.
He dies to entertaining his flesh and the good things that he desires.
Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Sharon, what you have just read is really crucified living means surrendered living.
Surrendered.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that really gives us the precept sheet that we need to know how to do it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. That should be two verses that we apply every day and we know by memory.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But crucified living also means exchanged living. So can I read you exchange living?
Okay.
That would be found in Galatians 2:20. And the verses that we're using today, Sharon, every believer should have them memorized.
Okay.
If you can't get them all memorized, know the location and the contents of the location so you can go there. So in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. And by the way, that's past tense. I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's saying I have been crucified. I no longer am in bondage to have to be controlled to my old way.
Right. I have a choice.
We have a choice. That's right. We don't have free will to just pick and choose as we want, but we have the ability to choose to serve the living Christ or to serve the father of lies, the devil.
Right.
Those are the two choices that
I set before you, life and death.
Death.
Choose life. That's our purchasing power.
That's good. I like that phrase. Then crucified living means never getting the cross out of your daily life.
Okay.
And the reason we don't want to do that is because the cross doesn't mean that life is just a bowl of cherries.
Well, and some people are looking at the cross as what Jesus did for me, so I don't want to look at it anymore because it's brutal. It hurts my heart to see what I did to cause Jesus to die.
And it takes care of my danger point. I don't have to worry about going to hell anymore. Mm-hmm. He paid the price.
Yep.
He purchased us.
So that's why they say it's a historical thing. And we don't have to look at it anymore. We don't have to talk about it anymore because we are not living in it.
Well, but Galatians 6:14, Paul very vividly reminds us that God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so, Sharon, if we are not going to get encompassed and entrapped by the ways of the world, then we live by the power of the cross, willing to look at everything that comes to us. And the cross and what Jesus Christ accomplished there has to be our standard as it was His. Now, we always have to remember that we can't do the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't have the power to forgive someone of their sins positionally, but we do have the power and the choice to forgive them when they offend us.
Right.
Because everything that we could do wrong was put upon Jesus Christ, and He said, that's what I paid for.
Right, and that verse also reminds us that boasting in the cross is something that we can do every day. I mean, why would we not live in that life of focus of the cross?
Because, Sharon, if you're doing that in your own flesh, or you want your food, fun, and fellowship, the cross does not make for good party gathering unless you understand the crucified life.
Right.
You'll lose a lot of friends. In fact, I had someone very recently just tell me with a little bit of a, come on, Janie, get with it, that, Janie, when you speak about that, you speak above people's heads and they don't understand, so they're just going to walk away. And I gave him a little bit of a surprise answer. I said, yes, I know I speak above their heads because they need to be stretched.
Right, right.
Because they're content with what they have, with their food, fun, and fellowship. And the Lord's saying, I have to allow adversities. And by the way, Sharon, a lot of adversities that we battle today are because we are battling the resistance to living the crucified life.
Well, Janie, you just said something that parallels to me in my head. You said, I speak above their heads because they need to be stretched. Well, Janie, if you think about being stretched, you're not all hunched over. Your spine needs to be in alignment so that it makes you healthier.
Well, you don't want to send a warrior out to the war field
when all he can see is his feet.
And he's walking with a cane to support himself to get him out to the trench. Now, I know we're being a bit extreme today, but you know what? To wake up our blindness, sometimes we do have to speak in words that are extreme.
And when we have our head down and all we can see is our feet, usually it's only a 3-foot circle around ourselves that we can see.
Ah, lack of vision.
Lack of vision.
And the Bible says people perish for lack of vision.
And that's why we should keep focused on the cross daily.
And Sharon, there is a good point here from the scriptures that we need to bring out. People tell me, well, Janie, the cross is an advanced doctrine that people know after they've walked with the Lord for some time.
Really?
Well, people tell me that.
Okay.
All right. Where did Paul open up with the most carnal church that he ever addressed? He didn't open up with, now if you be risen, seek these things that are above, which would be life. But before they could seek the things that were above, according to Colossians 3, they had to go to the death of recognizing who they were. Hmm. And so Paul opens up with Corinthians all about the cross. Before he ever gets ready to reprimand them to where they will be overwhelmed, he lets them know what the cross requires and what the cross provides so they will not be overwhelmed when they have to take the reproof of their carnal, worldly, blinded living.
Wow.
So the Christians of the first century knew the cross because for them to accept Christianity out of pagan Romanism, they knew it would probably cost them their life. They had to see the benefits of the cross. They had to glory in what it provided, not be overcome by the shame because of the method of what the cross produced. It was the most grueling death that a Roman citizen could devise to punish the guilty.
Well, Janie, maybe we should stop right here and just say, what all does the cross provide?
Well,
I mean,
it provides freedom of getting out of hell and into heaven, which everybody pretty well takes. It provides eternal life that gives you a quality of how to live forever in His presence without shame or guilt, because the cross has removed all of that.
But people say that eternal life is the benefit of the cross that they get once they die.
Well, I don't know that they say that, Sharon. They have more of a tendency to say you can't enjoy the resurrection side of the cross until you get to heaven.
Okay.
Because you're still entrapped in this unredeemed body.
Okay.
But that's not what the scripture says. Because we go back to one of our standard verses, Philippians 3:10, it's one of our foundations, that I may know Him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I'm not going to need to know the fellowship of His sufferings when I get to heaven.
Right. Oh, that's true. That's good.
Because fellowship of the sufferings will be past tense.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know the resurrected life now so that I will not falter and retreat and go hide under a rock when I have to know the fellowship of His sufferings.
Right.
Because He says the church takes up what is lacking right now in the body of Christ. So we live as overcomers, living in the power of His resurrection. Yes, I know we are still in an unredeemed body, but the Spirit can sustain that unredeemed body so that we can be the truth, the light, the witness, the testimony on why we're being left here.
And not be a slave to Satan.
That's right.
Even not be a slave to sin.
He can roar like a roaring lion. He can seek who he wants to devour. And we are told, according to 1 Peter 5:8 and 9 and James 4:7, that we can resist him steadfast in the faith.
Yes.
All right. But to do that, Sharon, we can't be puffed up with pride. We must learn how to walk in humility. And that means that we need to be able to accept the various trials that come to us because they are the means by which our faith is built up so that we can walk in the fellowship of His sufferings. Now we have just moved to the book of James. It has 5 chapters, and I would say if anybody is curious as to about our discussion today, they should read the book of James, 5 chapters. You can read it easily and meditate on it 1 hour a day, and you will find out what it is to not let pride override, to what the Lord says is a walk of humility, so that you don't slide down that slippery slope ignorant of what He's asked you to do.
So let's be purposeful to get up from our lukewarm life and choose to exchange it for a surrendered, crucified life in Christ. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratcliffe, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.